From Sundress Media Productions, this is Spectrum 360. Welcome. Your Spectrum 360 host is Mark Skogman. Spectrum 360 broadcasts live weekly on Mondays at 11 p.m. and online anytime via podcast. Thank you for listening for the next hour. Spectrum 360 is progressive and features political talk and humor and also the arts and popular culture. Spectrum 360 starts right now. Let's get to work.
Let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Any one of you who feels cynical, just consider where we have been.
If you want the truth, you should seek it out for yourself. That's what they're afraid of. You.
This is information the world needs to know.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
Thank you. Bless you. This is the end of the meeting. It's the beginning of the movement. Thank
Woo!
You.
Yeah.
Hello.
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 Hello. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
That's right, folks. Don't touch that dial.
Spectrum 360. Spectrum 360. Spectrum 360. Spectrum 360.
From the sun, white sand beaches, palm trees, surf, and pina coladas in the tropical and beautiful Tampa Bay area in the state of Florida on the eastern coast of the Gulf of Mexico. This is the radio program Spectrum 360 for Monday, the 21st of December, 2015.
You have an incoming transmission.
Welcome. I'm your Spectrum 360 host, Mark Skogman.
He is the most interesting man in the world.
And hello to our listeners in Florida, Tampa Bay, and the United States. I'm associate producer and co-host Terry Weeks.
Spectrum 360 is copyright 2015 by Mark Skogman. Copying and sharing the Spectrum 360 podcast for personal use is authorized and encouraged. On Spectrum 360 in this edition for Monday, the 21st of December, 2015. Focus of this program is politics and music, as it often is on Spectrum 360. Segment one, recorded. The Spectrum 360 will play the song Santa Doesn't Cop Out on Dope by Martin Mull, a humorous Christmas music song. This is a Spectrum 360 holiday tradition.
Cause Santa doesn't cop out on dope. Has he ever even tried it? Will you know the answer's no?
Yes. And then segment two, live via telephone, a Spectrum 360 interview with Michael Fox. Michael Fox is the state coordinator for Progressive Democrats of America, or PDA, as it's often referred to. A member of the board of the Pinellas County Democratic Executive Committee, and a Bernie Sanders for President supporter and worker. Spectrum 360 will interview Michael about the controversy with the Democratic National Committee, the company MGP Van, and its failure to maintain the online database firewall security, the Sanders for President campaign involvement, and the Hillary Clinton for President campaign. This will be interesting. I'm looking forward to having Michael Fox on Spectrum 360 for the third time. And then segment three, recorded the weekly Jim Hightower commentary for this edition of Spectrum 360 on the subject of, yes, once again, the Trans-Pacific Partnership and President Obama. Oh boy, we've been through this so many times. And Jim Hightower has commented so many times, and we're still fighting the same battle. We still have the same controversy. We still have the same problem. But we're working on it.
Is President Obama misinformed about his trade scam? Or is he lying?
I'll let you be the judge today on Hightower Radio.
And then segment four, recorded. Spectrum 360 will play another Christmas song, Happy Christmas, War is Over, by John Lennon. We're going to omit the pause of Mr. Claus by Arlo Guthrie this year. And because we've had so much violence this year in 2015, especially in the last 2 months, November and December, we decided to play Happy Christmas, War is Over by John Lennon instead of the pause of Mr. Claus this year, just because of the atmosphere that we are living in now with these recent events of terrorism, both international and domestic. And then segment five, recorded the audio from the video by Robert Reich and MoveOn.org entitled Your Holiday Guide to Dealing with Uncle Bob. About speaking to your conservative relatives at Christmas about economic issues. Who better to create a video like this than Robert Reich, who was the creator of the great documentary film Inequality for All, which Spectrum 360 covered when it was released. Yes, very, very good. Here's a preview.
Happy holidays to you and yours. Holidays with the family are great, but they can sometimes be complicated. Happy holidays, Uncle Bob. What's good about them?
Yeah, isn't that the truth? That does happen. I see that happen in my family. And then to wrap up this program, segment six, also recorded, Spectrum 360 will play the School of America's Watch song for this program in honor of the 25th anniversary of the School of America's Watch organization. This program's song is The Ballad of Roy Bourgeois by Steve Jacobs, a great acoustic folk song with a great lyric. Listen to this song for the fascinating story of the life of Father Roy Bourgeois. Father Roy Bourgeois is a former Catholic priest who founded the School of America's Watch organization, which meets every year in Columbus, Georgia. We're going to have major announcements from that organization next month in January of 2016, when they're going to announce exactly what they're doing with the We Need to Move to the Border campaign, where they're no longer going to convene in Columbus. They're going to convene at the border to address border security and immigrants and other issues. That will be a very interesting development. And then on next week's Spectrum 360, Spectrum 360 will cover all of the content we could not get to on the holiday program today, including ongoing coverage of the Florida Fracking Summit, the start of our coverage of the Richard Wolf speech that was conducted on Tuesday, the 10th of November, 2015, about the state of and the future of the economy in the U.S. Very interesting. Then our final SOA Watch song in honor of the 25th anniversary of the School of America's Watch organization, and the usual weekly Jim Hightower commentary. So in advance, Happy New Year 2016 to all of the Spectrum 360 listeners. Yes. Remember to like Spectrum 360 on Facebook at Spectrum 360 Radio Program, and also remember the Spectrum 360 Podcast. Go to www.internetradiopros.com, scroll down to the Spectrum 360 link, click on it, and choose the program date of your choice. Listen to Spectrum 360. All that on this edition of Spectrum 360.
Just one other thing I got to get this off my chest. Donald Trump is a jerk. Thank you. I feel better now. I gave myself therapy there. Thank you for allowing me to do it.
Need an antidote to the progressive blues? Want some good news about how grassroots folks are rebelling against the corporate powers and winning? Well, here's an easy-to-swallow pill for you, the Hightower Lowdown. Hightower's monthly newsletter will give you the lowdown, even as it lifts you up. It's 4 pages a month, jam-packed with facts you can use, actions you can take, and Jim's own Texas humor, all for only $15 a year. To become a lowdowner, go to HightowerLowdown.org.
There's one thing I hate. All the noise.
Okay, on to segment one. And that is, we're going to play the song by Martin Mull entitled Santa Doesn't Cop Out on Dope. This is a humorous Christmas song. It's a Spectrum 360 tradition. It's only 2 minutes and 21 seconds, and then we're going to go right to our interview with Michael Fox. So I'm going to torture you with 2 minutes and 21 seconds of Santa Doesn't Cop Out on Dope. This is just too great not to play at least once a year. Enjoy.
Hi, boys and girls. This is your old friend Martin Mull. And you know what? I just got back from the North Pole. You know what I was doing up there, don't you? That's right, I saw him all right. And all his little dwarves, boy did I get off on them. I learned so many wonderful things about him. I'd like to sing you a little song, so why don't you, you know, move on up. Come up close and I'll sing to you. Come on, closer. Closer. Come on, I won't bite. Come on, move closer. That's it, right down by my shoes. Great, okay, huddle all around, I'll sing you a song. All right, you too, Johnny, come on, closer. All year long he's busy making toys for all the little girls and the little boys. He puts them in his sled and gives his whip a crack. On Dunder, on Blitzen, but never on Smack. 'Cause Santa doesn't cop out on Dope. Has he ever even tried it? Will you know the answer's nope? So little kiddies, here's my point. Just leave him cookies, save your joint. 'Cause Santa Claus turns on in his own way, watching you when I turn on Christmas Day.
Oh, and there you go. That's Santa Doesn't Cop Out on Dope by Martin Mull for this year, 2015. Oh, my gosh. And I know some people are thinking this.
I must find some way to keep Christmas from coming.
But we're just not going to do that, okay? We're going to continue on to segment two, and that's our interview live by telephone with Michael Fox. Michael, are you there?
Indeed I am, Mark. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas, brother.
Happy holidays to you, too. And also happy holidays to the Spectrum 360 listeners, whether you're celebrating Christmas or Hanukkah or Kwanzaa or what have you. Happy holidays and happy new year to everyone. And also you, too, Michael. And I apologize in advance for making you listen to Santa Doesn't Cop Out on Dope.
No, that's a hoot, brother. That's all good. And I just wanted to jump in the spot that you had before there, the Hightower Lowdowner. I am a subscriber. I cannot endorse that publication anymore. Everybody who's listening to this has to get it. It's $15 a year. It's nothing. Get your hands on it. Not only is the information great, but you're also supporting a really solid progressive.
Yes, I totally agree with that. I'm a subscriber myself, as is Terry Weeks. And I might even be able to give a couple of gift subscriptions this year, if possible, here in the next few days. And cool. Yeah, it's great. It's great. It's got just a lot of good current information about a lot of good current topics, especially the Trans-Pacific Partnership and a lot of other stuff. And then, of course, there's the weekly Jim Hightower commentaries, which we play on this program. So Jim Hightower creates a lot of great media, and I totally support exactly what you just said there. So let's get to the current issues here. And that would be, of course, the situation with the Democratic National Committee, the vendor NGP Van, and their failure to protect campaign data with the proper firewalls all the time. And then the situation with the Bernie Sanders campaign and the Hillary Clinton campaign, as was addressed during the Saturday night debate, Democratic Party presidential candidate debate that happened this last Saturday night on the 19th of December. And Michael, what are your thoughts about this? What's the latest information? What was the original controversy, in your opinion? What information do you have about that?
Yeah, if I can start with, I've got a couple of different hats here. And let me just start with my just generic Democrats hat. Why Democrats should be absolutely incensed here. Number one, running a boatload of campaigns using that very tool. We refer to it as VAN here in Florida.
Yes.
However, it's the vote builder system. That's what folks know it best by across the country, from NGP VAN. First, the good news. It's a really solid tool. There is no question. It's an absolutely beautiful piece of work, and it's for the uninitiated. It's basically how you run lists and do outreach to very targeted outreach to voters. A primary is a perfect example of the need for that, because a very small percentage of the total number of Democrats are going to vote in any given primary. And any campaign's lifeblood is talking to that right percentage. That's where you want to be investing your volunteer hours. That's where you want to be investing your direct mail, et cetera, et cetera. It's an absolutely vital tool. Now, as a generic Democrat, as a member of not only our executive committee here in this county, but likewise, I'm the president of the St. Petersburg Democratic Club. I'm the chair of the Veterans Caucus here in Pinellas County.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so, I mean, I'm vested in this, and I'm absolutely incensed, number one, that, A, we've got a security problem there. Regardless of who exploited what hole, we got holes, and that just can't happen. You know, it could be the other side, a Republican, whatever, whoever,
and who knows,
hands on our information.
And who knows what the Clinton campaign has done, which has not become public yet, or non-Democrats such as Republicans or anyone else who's anti-Democratic party. Anyone could have taken advantage of these things and not been found yet if they're done in the right way. And this wasn't just some kind of minor failure or some kind of bug. It was an absolute failure where they actually took the firewall down, so there was no firewall. So it wasn't a breach. It was just the fact that the firewall was ended. It was not active. It was taken down for, well, this breach that happened last week. I'm sorry, I used the word breach myself, and I have to correct myself. It wasn't a breach. It was the firewall was taken down for 40 minutes. So it's not like it's being compromised or being wrecked or something like that. It's just being turned off.
Yeah, and there is absolutely no excuse for that. I mean, bottom line, what you do in that set of circumstances is you shut everybody down.
Exactly.
Bottom line, nobody can get in, period. I futz around with my firewall, I get my firewall back up, then everybody's turned on again. This ain't brain surgery by any stretch. So that the concern, I must admit, I have no smoking gun evidence. I can't say that I have any, you know, documentation that there was anything purposefully nefarious going on, but that is, at the very least, phenomenal incompetence. And flipping now, what does that mean to the Democratic Party? And that's what really the meat and bones of my rant tonight. And that is, Debbie Wasserman Schultz has got to go. Period.
I agree with that.
And this is associate producer and co-host Terry Weeks speaking. Terry, what was your opinion?
I wholeheartedly agree.
Yeah, so do I. I have to totally support that as well. And just today, we heard that... just driving here, I was listening to radio news, and I heard information about the fact that it was Debbie Wasserman Schultz's decision alone, her alone, to stop the Sanders campaign from having access to their own data. That was her decision alone, is what my latest information is on that. So she is totally responsible for that decision. What's your response to that, Michael?
Oh, my response is that doesn't surprise me at all, just like she was totally responsible for scheduling the debates at times when no human being is watching television.
Yes, she's made a number of unilateral decisions that have
Except
been quite
us.
Poor.
We watch television at that time, and a few
Bingo.
Other people do.
just the absolute political junkies. And the failure there, let's just quickly lay out why Debbie Wasserman Schultz has to go well in advance of this particular set of circumstances.
I agree with
that,
too.
We're looking at the person who was in charge of making sure that Democrats got elected in 2014.
Heck
How's
of a job, Debbie.
Turnout? Okay, so the number, there's your number one problem, incompetence in 2014. Number two, her other job is to raise money for the party. The party has lagged in total dollars raised over this period. Now you get to the presidential season, where the fact that she was the co-chair of Hillary Clinton's 2007 presidential campaign, and she does not recuse herself in any way, stand down as this presidential campaign is going on, et cetera, is a little bit questionable. But I think everybody listening on this call would say, okay, I'm the head of the DNC. I want to keep being the head of the DNC. All right, fine. Well, then you make sure, doubly sure, there's absolutely no question that there's any nepotism taking place, that there's no favoritism going on within that primary. It is the character, it is the it's just the image of the party in the marketplace that she damages left and right, either through incompetence or possible collusion with the Clinton campaign.
Yeah, now, she's clearly partisan. Let's just say that, you know, right up front, she's definitely clearly partisan in terms of representing the Clinton campaign.
And her own vice chairs have spoken out against her, R.T. Ryback and Tulsi Gabbard.
Amen. Tulsi's been rocking it. And she was
disrespected at one of the, I think it was the first or second Democratic Party debate, where she was not able to be seated. I don't remember all the details of that now, but she was definitely disrespected by the party because of a position that she took earlier this year. So that's a problem in itself. And also, you know, I saw Howard Dean on MSNBC. I think it was All In on either Friday or Thursday. And he was talking about how nonpartisan he was when he was the DNC chair, and that you need to be scrupulously nonpartisan. And then he gave examples of how extremely nonpartisan he was. He was so extremely fair. That's one of the reasons he was such a good chair. And then he was deploring the fact that Debbie Wasserman Schultz is not conducting yourself to that same standard.
Yeah, amen. Amen. And then when you take a look at her not literally, just not listening to the DNC, her members that she represents at their national convention, when they were going to bring up the issue of the debate, she just shut it down, mm-hmm. which, in all fairness to her, she has that right. But here's the segue into that's the other thing that she's failing.
But she's being very autocratic about it. That's the...
Yes, and that's the very thing that she needs to be a master at, and that is... Oh, I don't know, politics. You know, she needs to be able to bring coalitions together, motivate people, etc., etc., and she fails miserably at it. She is a wedge driver. She does not... one of the greatest challenges that any chair is going to have is a primary. It has the potential for fragmenting the party, et cetera, et cetera. The one thing that you have to be is the kumbaya, let's bring everybody together person, and she is the antithesis. And when talk about politics, okay, it's obvious. I don't know that it was her specifically that reached out to the Washington Post to leak the fact that we had this security breach, whether it was her or not. But bottom line,
it was definitely someone at the DNC. I mean, that's
it was somebody at the DNC.
Yeah, definitely. So they deliberately gave that story to the Washington Post to make sure that it was in the media. That was a deliberate effort.
Yep. And let's just take a look. People say, "Oh, come on now, she's not being partisan." Let's examine that for a moment. What possible positive effect on the party did that move present?
Exactly.
Zero. It's only negative. But they made sure it hit the press.
Well, what she's really done is she's really infuriated a lot of Sanders supporters and made it even less likely that should Hillary get the nomination that they'll turn out to vote for her.
Yeah, that's true.
Amen. And well, the good news to this, and my apologies, this might break up a little bit. There's evidently someone trying to get through to me on my other line here.
No problem so far.
Yeah, okay, good deal. But in any event, fell out of my head. The fact that, of course, Bernie supporters are incensed. Of course they are. I'm talking to Hillary supporters. I'm not in a position to name this person, but here, let's whet everybody's appetite by saying a high-level committee, a member of the board, a member of the board of the Florida State Party is a big Hillary supporter and is planning on coming out with a Debbie has to go.
Really?
Hillary supporters.
Wow.
Wow. Well, Michael Fox is making news on Spectrum 360. Wow. Yeah. That does not surprise me. I've been thinking that those kind of efforts are going to start to be made, and I was right, and you just confirmed it.
There you go. And so, bottom line, gang, whoever's listening here, I would think that you got an awful lot of lefties who aren't necessarily connected to the Democratic Party, and they're now yes. watching something play out that has always disgusted them about party politics. And I just want to say to them, I would invite them to participate in the party simply because we obviously have to make this change happen within the party. So we welcome you. There are an awful lot of good, solid progressives who are in the process of, I don't want to use the term taking over the party, but playing a more active role in these decisions. And so we welcome you to become a part of the party. Literally, in our case here in Pinellas County, if you just go to PinellasDemocrats.com, you can get involved with us if you're a good, solid progressive, and we'll make sure that the kind of change that we're looking for will happen.
Very well said, Michael. Yes, thank you so much. I know that there is a petition on the White House website for the removal of Debbie Wasserman Schultz, so you can go to whitehouse.gov, and you can vote in that poll, in that survey. I'm going to do that tomorrow when I get a chance, because I am definitely against Debbie Wasserman Schultz, and this did not start last week with this controversy. I've been very unhappy with her for months, if not years. I just think she's a poor chair, and she needs to go.
I've never been impressed with her leadership, and actually, I've never been impressed with her as a representative either.
There you go. I mean, we don't know her that well. Maybe she's a perfectly good next-door neighbor.
I'm sure she is.
Maybe she borrows your lawnmower. When it comes back, it's clean and has gas in it. And bless her if that's the case. But as far as her performance in this absolutely vital and powerful position, no, she's got to go. She's got to go. So.
Understood. Well, we all support that position. It's interesting that all three of us are... that are on this call are in agreement on that. Now, Michael, I want to ask you just a few more questions. What do you think the culpability of the Sanders campaign staff is in this controversy with the firewall and what they did? Do you have any opinions on that?
No, I don't. Honestly, and I don't mean to dodge the question. I don't know. That'll play out. The good news is that through this process, Bernie has been 100% transparent through this process. You know, he has identified the staffer fired, which I think it was just absolutely genius. If we got a couple of seconds on how one manages a crisis situation, I'd love to dive into that. But when you take a look at, he's within minutes of when he found out that that had taken place, he fired the top staffer, and there have been two other staffers who have likewise been let go in that period. Just like Bernie said on national television, if there's anyone who even hinted at inappropriate behavior, they're done. So
yeah. So as soon as the problem was identified, he took action to fix it.
Yep.
He apologized on national TV during the debate to the Clinton campaign. So
yes, he did do that, definitely.
Yep. And what I found very interesting there was the fact that Hillary stepped it back. And that's, if I could just dive headlong into the genius of rapid response crisis management that Bernie Sanders showed. And that's what you'll get out of Bernie Sanders, the president, right there. That should have been the end of the Bernie Sanders campaign. You know, as most political strategists, that's what Debbie or whoever it was who leaked the information to the Washington Post, they figured they could bury him with that. And within hours, news sources were calling it Watergate, et cetera. All right?
Maybe so, it's Wasserman Gate.
A great big pile of elephant dung in the middle of the living room there. And within hours, he brilliantly identified that this was NGP Van's problem and the DNC's problem, that they had broken their own rules. Not only was it a crappy thing to do like New York Post called it, that they basically sucker-punched Bernie Sanders. But not only was it inappropriate for them to take away his access, it flat-out broke the agreement that they had in writing with each other. He came out, used the courts, his campaign manager, stuck his chin out and said, no, we're not going to take this, period. And the Democratic Party blinked. And that's exactly what you're going to get with Bernie Sanders. There was no violence, but there was very aggressive points made and heels in the sand when heels in the sand need to take place. And that's exactly the kind of negotiator that Bernie Sanders is going to be it either if he's negotiating with Wall Street or he's negotiating internationally. Quite frankly, he will talk, but by goodness, all those folks who think he's just this, you know, a peace pipe smoking peacenik type that can get ran over, it's, you know, the Donald Trumps of the world that are strong. No, our guy is strong. There is no question.
Well, very well said, Michael. And I do want to give a notification of full disclosure that the Spectrum 360 Editorial Committee has endorsed Bernie Sanders for U.S. president. I have personally, so has Terry Weeks. And our former commentator in this program, Rebecca Kingsford, also endorsed Bernie Sanders for president. So you got an unanimous vote here for Bernie Sanders, and I know you're a big supporter. So we're all in agreement on that, and I just want to disclose that to our listeners so they can make their own judgment about the coverage, because we're definitely all in for Bernie Sanders on this program.
Well, what a Bernie move there, brother. That's full disclosure. And that's exactly what the mainstream media fails miserably at, and Spectrum 360 is nailing it on that. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that. And yeah, the mainstream media is definitely failing the Sanders campaign and failing to cover it deliberately. There's been a deliberate pattern on that. In fact, a few weeks ago on Morning Joe, Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski both commented on the fact that that was definitely true and that they needed to make up for that by giving Bernie Sanders' campaign more coverage. They flat out said that on Morning Joe. That was just a few weeks ago. So
good on him. I rarely say good on him, but good on him there.
Yeah, very good. Well, Michael Fox, thank you so much for coming on Spectrum 360 and speaking with us today. This has been a great conversation, and I really appreciate you doing this on relatively short notice. So thank you so much.
All good, brother. And thank you, Terry. Nurses rock.
Yes,
have
they do.
And yeah, that was Michael Fox. He's the state coordinator for Progressive Democrats of America, also a board member of the Pinellas County Democratic Executive Committee, leader of the Pinellas County Veterans Caucus, and president of the St. Petersburg Democratic Club. Boy, is this man busy.
And, he is everywhere.
Yeah, and he does great. So we really appreciate him taking the time to be on Spectrum 360. And now, the Jim Hightower commentary for this week on Spectrum 360. Take it away, Jim.
Last spring, President Obama got downright crabby about people criticizing the gleaming Trans-Pacific Partnership he's trying to sell to Congress and the public. More and more Americans are learning that TPP would undermine America's very sovereignty, giving multinational corporations direct access to secretive tribunals empowered to roll back our nation's consumer, labor, and other laws that global corporate giants don't like. Yet, an irked Obama called this untrue. "They're making this stuff up," he cried. "No trade agreement is going to force us to change our laws." Perhaps he was misinformed. Perhaps he hasn't actually read the deal he's pushing. Or, dare we say it, perhaps he's lying. In unmistakable language, TPP does indeed create the private, corporate-run mechanism for changing our laws. Moreover, surely Obama knows that foreign corporations are already doing this indirectly through little-known provisions in the NAFTA and WTO trade scams. Powerful corporations in other countries have pressured their governments to challenge our laws in similar tribunals. From Canada to Malaysia, many countries have, on behalf of their corporate powers, successfully forced Congress and U.S. agencies to weaken or eliminate everything from some of our environmental protections to consumer right-to-know laws.
In fact, this very year, Obama's own administration has been told by WTO that it must alter or repeal two of America's laws. This is Jim Hightower saying, shockingly, his TPP flimflam would elevate private profiteering corporations to the legal status of nation states, enabling them to sue directly in rigged corporate courts to, quote, force us to change our laws. Obama knows this, or he doesn't. Either way, it destroys his presidential credibility and moral authority to keep pushing this giveaway of our people's sovereignty.
Need an antidote to the progressive blues? Want some good news about how grassroots folks are rebelling against the corporate powers and winning? Well, here's an easy-to-swallow pill for you, the Hightower Lowdown. Hightower's monthly newsletter will give you the lowdown, even as it lifts you up. It's 4 pages a month, jam-packed with facts you can use, actions you can take, and Jim's own Texas humor, all for only $15 a year. To become a lowdowner, go to HightowerLowdown.org.
I'd like to tell my Spectrum 360 listeners about my friends at Ocean 6. Ocean 6 is a company that provides a variety of high-quality packaged seafood, chicken, pork, and beef products, frozen, and delivered directly to the front door of your residence. It doesn't get any easier than that. The food is great, the service is excellent, and I am a customer of Ocean 6 myself. Lately, I've been enjoying using their seafood products, especially my favorites, the jumbo shrimp and the shrimp scampi. Good. To get yours, you can call the same man who provides Ocean 6 products for my family. His name is Mark, like myself, and you can call him at 727-623-8015. That's 727-623-8015. The Ocean 6 website is ocean6.net. Again, that's ocean6.net. Get it? .net. Like the net where that wonderful Ocean 6 seafood comes from. Call or click today and get yours.
And on to the next segment here on Spectrum 360. And this is the song Happy Christmas, War is Over by John Lennon, a Christmas and a Beatles and John Lennon classic song. And I'm playing this song this year in place of The Paws of Mr. Claus by Arlo Guthrie, which is a Spectrum 360 tradition, specifically because we've had so much violence in this year of 2015 and so much violence in the last 2 months that I thought this was more appropriate than that song this year. So if you're looking for that song, I apologize. We've replaced it with this one because we thought it was more appropriate. We will play Paws of Mr. Claus probably next year's holiday program. Here's Happy Christmas, War is Over, a classic.
So this is Christmas, and what have you done? Another year over, and you won't just be gone. And so this is Christmas. The near and the dear one, the old and the young.
in the final analysis, our most basic common link is that we all inhabit this small planet. We all breathe the same air.
Hey,
we all cherish our children's futures, and we are all mortal.
Yes, we all breathe the same air. I just love to say that. That is so funny, that accent that John Kennedy, President John F. Kennedy, used in that famous segment there. And now on to segment five. And that's our the audio of the video by Robert Reich and MoveOn.org entitled Your Holiday Guide to Dealing with Uncle Bob. Enjoy.
Happy holidays to you and yours. Holidays with the family are great, but they can sometimes be complicated. Happy holidays, Uncle Bob. What's good about them? I'm paying too much in taxes to support poor people who are sitting on their duffs. Good old Uncle Bob, sweet man, wrong. Here are some suggestions to help answer the favorite arguments of the Uncle Bob in your holiday gathering. Actually, Uncle Bob, the top tax rate, which I assume you're paying, is just a little more than half what it was for four decades before 1981. And only a tiny percent of your taxes go to the poor. By the way, the poor are working harder than ever, often 60 or 70 hours a week in more than one job.
But they aren't paying any income taxes.
You see, he just wants to talk about income taxes. That's a trick. What you need to do is talk about the total tax burden. Actually, Uncle Bob, they're paying a higher share of their incomes than you are for Social Security, state sales taxes, property taxes, user fees, and tolls. Add all these up, and the entire bottom half of Americans is probably paying a higher tax rate than you pay.
But if the government taxes people like me, the economy suffers because we're the job creators.
Every holiday I hear about this job creator stuff. Even Uncle Bob, if he thinks about it, brilliant businessman I'm sure he is, knows that he only hires people when he has customers. Actually, Uncle Bob, the real job creators are the vast middle class and the poor, whose spending motivates companies to add jobs. Without customers, there'd be no jobs. That's the real economic problem. The wages of most people haven't gone anywhere for 35 years if you adjust for inflation. Most of the economy's gains have gone to the top 1%.
The problem is labor unions.
If they criticize unions, tie the decline of unions to what's happened to middle-class incomes. Actually, Uncle Bob, unions built the great American middle class of the 1950s and 60s, giving workers bargaining power to get a fair share of the economy's gains. But because union membership has plummeted from a third of all private sector workers then to fewer than 7% now, the median wage has been stagnant and the middle class has been shrinking.
So, I suppose you want to raise the minimum wage too.
Be ready for this one.
That'll mean fewer jobs, because with a higher minimum wage, employers will substitute machines or send the jobs abroad rather than pay people more.
Actually, Uncle Bob, research shows a higher minimum wage creates more jobs because people spend most of their paychecks in the local economy, thereby fueling job growth. And it's also good for employers because it leads to more loyal and reliable employees and less turnover.
You know what you are? You're a socialist.
Once they start the ad hominem attacks, you've won. No, Uncle Bob. I'm just interested in facts, not labels. Don't choke on your apple pie, Uncle Bob. Or in the spirit of being hopeful around the holidays, this may happen. Name-calling will get you nowhere, Uncle Bob. You know, we have much more in common than it seems. You care about America. I care about America. We all want a stronger economy. We're all worried about money in politics. We want to leave a better world for our kids. Happy holidays.
Kumbaya, my friend. Kumbaya.
Oh my gosh, did they really just sing Kumbaya? Terry, your comments.
I love Robert Reich, and those are all great arguments. I've unfortunately tried to make them with some people and never gotten anywhere. They don't like to be confused with facts and ended up saying, I don't want to talk about this anymore.
Well, yes, I've had that same experience. At least sometimes you win the argument, right?
I suppose.
Yes. And on to the final segment, segment 6 for this edition of Spectrum 360 for Monday, the 21st of December, 2015. And this is, Spectrum 360 will play the School of America's Watch song for this program in honor of the 25th anniversary of the School of America's Watch organization. We've been playing a School of America's Watch song from the CD, Sing It Down, Volume 2, Songs to Close the School of America's. This is a fundraising CD for the School of America's Watch organization. It's got 19 songs on it. They're all great. And we've been going through them. And because of the 25th anniversary this year of the School of America's Watch, we've been playing a School of America's Watch program from this CD all on every program since November 30th, except for last week's program, because there was so much content we didn't have a chance to do it. But we're going to on this program. And this time the song is The Ballad of Roy Bourgeois by Steve Jacobs. It's a great acoustic folk song with a great lyric. Listen to the song for this fascinating story of the life of Father Roy Bourgeois. This is a true story. So please listen.
Come all you friends of justice, and a story I will tell about a priest named Roy Bourgeois. Fort Benning knows him well. While serving in the Navy in far-off Vietnam, he saw firsthand the works of war, the bullet and the bomb. Amidst the death and suffering, Roy learned another way from a Catholic missionary, and the spirit seemed to say, my ways are not the ways of men, and if you follow me, to bear and not an M16. And so with inspiration, Roy did receive a call. He joined the missionaries that were called the Mary Dolls. So tell me, who is braver when sent off to foreign lands? Person with a weapon or open heart and hands? Now when you live among the poor, you begin to question why the rich receive the lion's share and the poor are left to die. And what good does the U.S. hope to gain by giving guns to soldiers trained at the SOA who are killing priests and nuns? While working in Bolivia, Roy dared to take a side. Arrested, beaten, tortured, he was threatened with his life. Expelled out of that country, then went to Salvador, where death squads killed with impunity and made war upon the poor. You heard about the massacres, you heard about the pain, the slaughter of the Jesuits of El Mazote slain. Amara Clark and Edith Ford, to only name a few. When challenged by Romero's voice, Roy knew what he must do. He found out that their killers were all trained by SOA and armed by the U.S. Army at Fort Benning, USA. One night outside their barracks with two friends, he climbed a tree. They blasted out Romero's words to the soldiers at their feet. Well, the three were all arrested and all sent off to jail. But they would not be silent in their stories they would tell. Roy traveled across this country to speak to old and young and take the U.S. government to task for what they'd done. So folks began to gather outside Fort Benning's gate. At first only a handful, but our numbers soon were great. We number in the thousands now from every town and state. Tell the U.S. government that justice cannot wait. There are many kinds of oppression and inequality in our work, in schools, in churches, and society. But oppression needs complicity of silence to go on. Roy learned that solidarity with others makes you strong. So how then could he turn his back when invited to attend a woman's ordination? Can this only be for men? The church said, Roy, you must renounce this kind of equality, or you will be suspended from your priestly faculties. But Roy would not be silenced by the Roman hierarchy. God can inspire women as God has inspired me. To say God cannot do this is to dare to limit God. So I will stand with women priests, with them I cast my lot. Now some will follow blindly, and others they will not. And some will search for answers and examine what we've got. But if you want examples of good Christianity, then Roy Bourgeois's a hero for his humanity.
Now, wasn't that a great song?
That was a great song. Father Roy is quite an amazing man. He is no longer a priest, actually, because he was defrocked by the Catholic Church for supporting the ordination of women.
Excommunicated from the Marinole Order.
Yes.
I believe that was approximately 2 years ago that that happened.
Mm-hmm.
But he's been one of the original 10 founding members of the School of America's Watch organization, and he's a great guy. I've met him numerous times. I've interviewed him. In fact, we're hoping to have him as an interview subject via telephone on Spectrum 360 sometime in the next few weeks, by the end of January, I hope, if at all possible, to have him live on the program for the first time. We've had recorded interviews with him that we've done in Columbus, Georgia, during the School of America's Watch Vigil, which happens yearly, or has up until this year happened yearly, the weekend before the week of Thanksgiving. This year it was on Friday the 20th of November, Saturday the 21st of November, and then Sunday the 22nd of November. And the very next day, we had an excellent and amazing Spectrum 360 special program on the School of America's Watch Vigil. And that podcast of that program will be posted in the next 1 to 2 days. So you can listen to that. It's extraordinary. It really is. Now, on Spectrum 360, next week we'll have ongoing coverage of the Florida Fracking Summit, the start of our coverage of the Richard Wolff speech from Tuesday the 10th of November about the state of and future of the economy in the U.S., our final SOA Watch song in honor of the 25th anniversary of the School of America's Watch Organization, and the usual Jim Hightower commentary. And that should be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to that. That's going to be the last program of Spectrum 360 for the year 2015. So, Merry Christmas. Have a great Christmas if you celebrate Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa.
Or happy Festivus.
Festivus.
For the rest of us.
Ah, I see. Festivus. I got to remember that one. Okay, very good. So tune in next week for more Spectrum 360 in 2015. The last one.
Spectrum 360 is produced by Sunburst Media Productions and originates from St. Petersburg, Florida. Executive producer, host, audio engineer, and senior reporter, Mark Skogman. Associate producer, Terry Weeks. Spectrum 360 broadcasts live weekly on Mondays at 11 p.m. for 1 hour and online anytime via podcast. To access the podcast, go to www.facebook.com/Spectrum360 Radio Program and click on the program link. Or go to www.tantalk1340.com, click on podcasts, and click on Spectrum 360. Thank you to all our listeners and supporters and the staff of Spectrum 360. Listen next week for another interesting, informative, and entertaining Spectrum 360 radio program.
That's all, folks.